Pure and perfect is our Lord the King. Pure and perfect. Holy, holy, holy. Our Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is to come. Amen. We're not left alone in this place, this old, dirty earth. We're not left alone. He is coming again. Have you ever had seasons in your life where things just seem to be rolling? I mean, it's just going perfect. I mean, the dogs act right. The kids are making good grades. Just got a raise at work. And I mean, things are rolling, man. Things are just humming. It's good stuff. And then you got those seasons in life that seem to come right after that, that everything seems to go wrong. Right? I mean, the dog's throwing up in the house. You and your spouse are kind of getting on each other's nerves. The kids aren't cleaning nothing. The boss is just, I mean, if he gets on me one more time, I'm just going to have to scream, right? It starts raining and the basement's leaking. Oh, and by the way, the roof's leaking too. And the car, I got in the car and it wouldn't crank. I mean, everything's, and then there's the doctor and there's everything. And you could throw in a whole lot of other stuff, but it all seems to pile on about the same, you know, day, seemingly. It's all just whoa, whoa. And you're just waiting for the next shoe to drop. And in those moments, I mean, through it, you're getting irritated, you're getting anxious, you're getting stressed out, you're getting overcome, you're getting angry, you're getting, you know, overwhelmed, and you're about ready to just pull every stitch of hair except for Bob. Right. I mean, you know. And then you come to that place and you just have to laugh. Right? You been there? Can you identify with me this morning? If you've been there, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a witness. Good. I'm not the only one. It's just, really? And you just got to laugh, man. I mean, that's just life. We've all been there. We've all gone through those times when it's just, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. It's just, here we are in this big world of mess that we find ourselves in. Today, the title is Finding Joy. And in your bulletin, there is an outline there. We're going to do half of that today. Is that okay with y'all? We're just going to do half of that today. Because God gave me more on this little first half than I think we can get through the whole thing. So here we go. Finding joy in this crazy, messed up, mixed up world that we live in. In John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11, Jesus is speaking, and he says these words, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." That's a powerful verse right there, because the first thing you see is that joy is attainable. You can have joy. I don't care what your life is going through. I don't care the circumstances, whatever the doctor said, whatever's going on. You know, nothing's working out and nothing seems to be where it should be, and what you expected to happen in your life has not happened at all, and decisions and things, choices that you've made in life has gotten you in a place that you don't like to be in, and it's very uncomfortable and it's very challenging and it's overwhelming, and you think you can't crawl up out of that pit or whatever's going on. I want you to know today, God wants you to know in his word that joy is attainable. You can have joy today. Amen. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of folks that walk around you every single day that find themselves in a perpetual state of the mully grub. Am I right? Well, if you're a child of God, that's not the place for you. It's not the place for you. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But think about this. I might have wrote it in your notes, but I'm not sure. If I didn't, just write this down. Joy changes everything. Joy changes everything. It does, man. Because no matter what you face in life, we are told in Scripture that rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. That in this world we're going to have trouble. This world is filled with sin, and the effects of sin has ravaged every part of this world. Okay? So you're going to face challenges and trouble and things that you can't explain and things that maybe even cause you to question God and to wonder if He still is in having a clue about what's going on, because this shouldn't have been and that shouldn't have been and this shouldn't have taken place and that I shouldn't have faced that and all this stuff is not working out right. We're going to have those moments. But just know that joy changes everything if we'll live in that place, in that place of joy. So as we dig into this first question, let's pray and just ask God to speak to our lives and maybe touch us in that place where we have lost our joy, okay? Let's do that now. Father, thank you for your truth today. Clearly, God, your ways are higher than our ways. Your comprehension is well above ours. Your discernment is so greater. Your wisdom, your authority, your power, your majesty, your might, your strength, your comfort is more than enough. God, you have made joy attainable to your children. And yet, amongst God's people, those who would claim Jesus as Lord, so many times we find ourselves depressed and downhearted and downtrodden, overwhelmed, stressed out, confused. May we look again to the author of our faith. May we look again to the one who has provided joy, exceedingly abundant joy for us to live in, even in the middle of our circumstance. Bless us to see clearly that truth today and apply it to our lives and have our minds melded and molded into that which you have so ordained and established it to be. And may we be quickened by your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first question that we have today is, what kind of joy are you looking for? What kind of joy are you looking for? The world's joy is more happiness, right? Happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is for the moment. We can all grab a gusto and have a moment and feel great in the moment or not feel anything in the moment. And then after the fact, you know, lose our lunch and, you know, find out what we said and what we did and all this kind of stuff and never, you know, have joy. We can get those moments of happiness. We go online, find the deal, get the stuff in the mail, get it, have fun with it, break it, gets too small, too big, too what old, whatever, and then that moment's gone. And so we try to find another moment of happiness. That's what the culture does, see? It's moment to moment, trying to find a moment of happiness. That's not what God's offering us today. It's joy. Joy's different than happiness, and joy should be in the profile of every believer, every Christian, because it's not based on our temperament, our personality, or on our circumstances. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at it. What does it say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, And it's the fruit, not fruits. It's the fruit. When God's Holy Spirit came into your life and sealed you until the day of redemption, when you called on His name to save you from yourself and sin, He came in with all of Himself. His Holy Spirit's come into your life to make your body the temple. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. This flesh, this tent that we are living in. Okay? The Holy Spirit's come into your life, and when He came bearing all of His characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's what's in you. The joy of the Lord is in you. Tell your neighbor, you got the joy of the Lord today. If you know Jesus. If you know the Lord, it's in you. Whenever the Spirit comes to live in your lives, the result is love. It's joy. The result is peace. The result is kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things are living in you. Therefore, there cannot not be joy in the heart of the believer. There cannot not be joy in the heart of those who know Jesus. It's impossible. If you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit's in you, you've got joy. You've got joy to live on. You got joy to live in. You got joy to overcome. You got joy to get you through. You got joy in your life. It's in you. You got to tap into that resource of joy. So you got to tap into the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And what kind of joy? What kind of joy are we looking for? Well, what kind of joy is out there that God has for us? Three things that is the kind of joy that we're talking about today that God has provided you. Letter A is great joy. Great joy. You remember right before Jesus came, the angel came to Mary and he said some words like this. He said, "But do not be afraid. I bring you good news, great joy, all the people." That's what kind of joy I'm bringing. It's in Jesus Christ. He is good news, great joy, and it's for everybody. Everybody can have it. It is attainable. You can have joy today in your life. It comes through salvation, which we're going to talk about next week, but it comes through knowing the one who's brought it. If you don't know Christ today, you can't experience joy. I don't care how many baskets an NBA star makes, or how many movies somebody from Hollywood makes, or what kind of, you know, it doesn't matter what you can attain on this earth, because that happiness is fleeting at best. It's fleeting. But joy lasts forever. Joy lasts forever. And it's not based on your circumstance or your achievement or your what you attain on this earth or how old or how young. Those things don't matter when it comes to the joy of the Lord. It is great joy today. How many of you want some great joy? How many of you have great joy in your life? Own it, right? Live in that. I know when you woke up and every bone in your body popped, you know, when you started walking across the bedroom floor, you weren't feeling very joyous. You weren't rejoicing, praise the Lord, I got another pain. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, that's not the first thing we go to in our humanity. But it's the joy of the Lord that we got to tap into. It's that resource that even though, man, that hurt when I took that step. Oh, man, what is that? I didn't know I had that. We can still have joy. We can still have joy because this body is going to the grave one day. But who I am is going to be with glory, going to be with God in heaven, you know? And then He's going to fix all the rough spots about the body. Our soul and our body are going to meet up and it's going to be perfect. Better than we've ever had it. Amen? That's what's coming. We're grateful for that. But you can have great joy. The second thing, letter B, is complete joy. That's what that John chapter 15 just said. if you obey the commands, if you remain in His love, then I've told you this so that my joy, Jesus said, my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. That word complete means full, all the way to the brim. You remember that Folgers commercial? To the brim. Have you ever looked when you filled up a glass, when you fill up a glass totally to the plum, and you look over the edge of it, you notice that it's over the edge. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know what gravity holds it. I'm sure some of you engineers or some of you people can know what that does, but right, Brother Mike? There you go. Thank you. But you can have that glass sitting there, and you can feel it all the way, and it's not coming out. But if you look over the edge, it's above, the liquid is above the edge. That's what we're talking about. Complete joy. So that when other people see your life, you're not even trying, but they can see joy in your life. You're not even trying, but it's what's coming up over that they can see. It's over the edge of your life, the joy of the Lord in your life. And so they ask you because your life's been lived out in joy. Now, it hadn't been perfect living. It hadn't been perfect going smooth as silk. And you've had Calgon moments. And everybody around you know that Calgon's been in your life, right? And yet the joy of the Lord, they can see the joy. It's just pressing out over the edge. Complete joy is what God has for you. How does that happen? When you obey Him, when you live in His love, when you're serving Him, when you recognize that your day is not your day, it's God's day to live through you. When you realize that your parenting is not your parenting, it's God's parenting through you. And in that, you don't have to apologize for having standards in your life. You don't have to apologize for that. I'm standing with God. This is not just me talking. This is not just me living. It's God living through me. It's not based on my feelings. It's based on my faith. You can live in joy when that happens, see? Complete. Great. Complete. Letter C. Overwhelming. That's how God characterizes His joy in the Word of God, okay? Notice this is God's Word talking here, okay? It's overwhelming joy. Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The folks that Peter's writing to had never had the opportunity to walk with Jesus. And yet, Peter, recognizing that they had just followed the precepts and the principle that he had taught them, that what he was saying to them, they were adhering to, they were taking all that in. And so they were learning about who Jesus was and what Jesus could do, and they had given their life to Christ. And so Peter, recognizing that, said, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Though you've not seen Christ and you didn't get to walk with Him like I did and you didn't get to hear Him like I did, yet you've taken these principles and these precepts that I've taught you and you've just honed in on that truth and you've put your life into the hands of this word, this message of hope, and it's given you complete and utter joy. And I see that in your life. It's overwhelming. It's inexpressible. It's full of glory, this joy. It's more than... So we've got the jar, right? We've got the glass, and we're filling it, and we filled it to the top, and it's completely full, but it's as if it's bubbling up over. And it's not anything that you've done as the glass. It's what God is doing through your life. It's coming up, and it's overflowing. I can't explain that. It's more than I can bear. It's complete. So we've got the frustrating moment, the irritating coworker, the frustration of life, the difficulties, the financial woes, the whatever's going on. And it's just as if God's just said, look what I can do even through that mess. You can handle the adversity of that coworker. You can deal with the issues of your finances. You can overcome this adversity of the doctor's office. You can do all these things through Christ who gives you strength. We love that verse, by the way. But where does that strength come from? Well, other places it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So how do we overcome? It's the joy of the Lord that's the overcoming factor of our life. Joy changes everything. It really does. Notice in that verse there, in 1 Peter, there's no room for lukewarm, half-hearted living, is there? There's no lukewarmness in that. There's no mediocre, moderate lifestyle when it comes to our walk with God. Because when you're filled with joy, everything changes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, Paul's writing to the church there, and we're going to look at this tonight, matter of fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Overflowing joy produced. If they were to have looked at their weakness or the part of their life that they were hurting the most, if they would have focused on that part, they would have never received the blessing. They could have said, well, we're in extreme poverty, there's nothing we can do, and focused on that. Right? They could have said, well, we don't have this, or I can't do that, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not athletic enough, or I just, you know, when we get in that place, right, where we just feel like we can't. I can't accomplish. I can't do what they do. I can't be like they are. And we get in that place. But they didn't focus on that. It said their overflowing, overwhelming joy welled up in generosity. For us, it might be welled up in extreme faith, welled up in incredible serving, welled up in just being available to teach, welled up in whatever, right? Being hospitable, being patient, being forgiving. You see? That overflowing joy. If we'll just focus on that, it doesn't change our circumstances. But it surely changes our attitude in the middle of it. Overflowing joy. So, with this great joy, this complete joy, this overwhelming joy, does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter? Is it going to cause God to love us more or going to change the outcome of situations? Does it really matter? I'm glad you asked. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, it mattered to John who wrote so that the reader would have joy. He said, we write this to make our mine and your joy, complete. We write these things to make your joy complete. He wrote the whole book of 1 John so that the joy of those who were listening would be complete. The whole book. I mean, he could have wrote for all kinds of reasons to those people. But he says, I write this to make your joy complete. And if New Testament truth's not good enough for you, Old Testament truth says the same. Because you remember the story of, in Nehemiah chapter 8. And I don't have this on the screen, but Nehemiah chapter 8. You'll remember the story of Nehemiah, who went back to Jerusalem after being in exile in Babylon, came back, asked the king, could I go back and build up the wall around my city, where my people grew up, where my people used to live, and it used to be a vibrant place, and it's all the walls are broken down. Could I just go back and rebuild the walls? And the king showed favor to Nehemiah. He went back, and he began to rebuild the wall, using the people that were there, and in like a month and a half, right? They rebuild the wall. It was an amazing feat that they did. And while rebuilding the wall, they found in the temple the book of the law, which had been lost for generations. And Ezra began to read the book of the law to the people of God. And as he began to read, Scripture says they began to weep, the people. They began to fall flat out on their face before a holy God because they knew that they were living in sin and apart from God. And they were broken, broken before God. Interesting part of this story is that Nehemiah sees this happening. Ezra's reading, Nehemiah's looking over the crowd of people, throngs of people that are hearing the word of God, maybe for the very first time. And they're falling on their face. They're weeping before God. And this is Nehemiah's response to that. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not weep. Do not mourn." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send them to those who have nothing prepared. For this day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Don't weep. Don't cry. Look, there's a place for weeping, don't get me wrong, especially over sin and loss and other places that are appropriate. Jesus himself was known as the suffering servant. We get the picture of, but don't stay there, right? Don't stay in that place, because when we stay in that place, we are opening up our lives for the attack of the enemy. We're weak and unusable in that place. We need the joy of the Lord. That's the place of strength. That's where we need to be. And so today, if you come to this place and you find yourself more weeping or mourning or underneath or overwhelmed or you know, just stressed out and anxious about what's happening in your life, find the joy again. Find the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. It's what guides you. It's what strengthens you. It's what gets you through. And strength comes, or joy comes, when you find hope in the Lord. When he's your focus and he's your aim and he's what really is driving you. It's the hope that we have that this world is not our home. That this circumstance and situation is not going to last forever. But there's something more. There's something greater to be had for the child of God, the born-again believer. And it's not found here. It's found in glory. And our inheritance is there, but we can tap into that today. And it's found in the joy of the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to work in us and wants to change our mind, change our thinking, change our approach, change our attitude and living. It's found in the joy of the Lord. It's our strength, y'all. It's our strength. And so when we worship, don't be caught just mouthing the words. God's worth so much more than you mouthing some words. He wants you to be filled up full with himself so that you can live out there. What we do in here is well and good, but if we don't send it out there, what have we accomplished in here? Amen? The joy is our strength. You can find joy in anything. Matter of fact, if you look in Hebrews, and I don't have this up there either, this is bonus stuff. Hebrews chapter 12. Where am I? Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus is the example, right? He is the example that we ought to live in. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says in verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." There was some joy that was set before the Lord. See, he was having to face all kinds of opposition here. I mean, he was scorned, ridiculed, beaten down, put on a cross to die. Why? How could he do that? He had joy set before him. There was joy set before him. He was focused on the joy because he knew that's where his strength came from. So no matter what you're facing today, no matter your struggle, don't grow weary and lose heart. Hold that joy out before you. hold that joy out before you and live in that place of joy each and every day. Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place this morning. Without joy, we're a sitting duck, y'all. Sorrow is not your strength. Joy is your strength today. First question I'll have for you today is, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Him? You know that you know that you know that He is your Savior and Lord today. You know where you stand with God. Is that true for you today? You know you're a Christian. You know that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven, be with your Father in glory. You know that without a shadow of a doubt. You have confidence that that is the truth of your life, not based on what you do or who you are, but based on what God did in your life. If that's true for you today, would you just lift your hand up with confidence and pride? I know. I know. Amen. Hands all over the building. Praise the Lord. Were there others of you today, though, you couldn't raise your hand? Friend, it'd be foolish for me today to send you out these doors not knowing where you stand with God. That would be the most foolish thing that I could do today. It's not give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Christ. The gospel truth is that Jesus came to save sinners, of which I am the worst. God looked down from all of history and saw your life and saw that you had a great need of a Savior. And so He sent Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago to die on a cross, not for His sin, but for yours. He took your place, your punishment, on the cross, shedding His blood so that you wouldn't have to shed yours. And the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said, if you profess me before men, I'll profess you before my Father in heaven. The way to righteousness is easily found. But you have to.